Hello everyone, my name is Laura.
And my name's Anouk.
And we're the co-hosts of the International Student Voices podcast, the ultimate guide for studying and living in the UK.
Today we're going to be covering a topic that we've covered in a previous episode, and that is cultural shocks. So coming from France, we both experienced a new culture when we first arrived to the UK to do our bachelor's degree. And if you want to check that episode out, please do, because it's actually quite a funny one. And so basically, in today's episode, we are joined by a new guest who comes from Nigeria to give us her perspective on what cultural shocks she experienced and how different they were to ours. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Yep, sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Progress and I am Nigerian. I'm currently living in the UK. I did my master's at the University of Sussex and I studied media practice for development and social change. What else? I am a writer. I am also a digital content creator and I am a podcaster as well. I have a podcast called The International Students Podcast. And yeah, I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. And so as Progress said, she has a podcast. And so that is how we met, because you actually reached out to us because we do similar things. And so it was really interesting to kind of discuss that a little bit further, because I think we started around the same time as well. We were saying in October 2022, which is crazy.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so we can get straight into this episode. So could you kind of share with us some of the cultural shocks you experienced when you first arrived in the UK as an international student from Nigeria?
Yeah, of course. So yeah, there's quite a few. One of the first ones was, back in Nigeria, you know, Africa generally has a very respect-based culture. And so when I came to the UK, that was like, I experienced almost like the opposite of that. So this is what happened in class. In the UK, you know, lecturers and like even like your colleagues or your bosses, they are referred to by their names, by their first names. Whereas in Nigeria, we refer to our lecturers, you know, with like sir or professor or like with their titles, basically, and not their names. So I remember, you know, sending emails to my lecturers and I'm adding Mr. Yogos, you know, Mrs. This or, you know, stuff like that. And they would always correct me to say, just call me Yogos or just call me Patrick or just call me that. And I found myself struggling to do that, to just say their names, which is quite weird because, yeah, for me, it was disrespectful. You have to like put their title first. You have to respect them for all their achievements and like their age, in fact. So, yes, that's one. I think another one, yeah, this one is not that deep, but it was something I experienced the second day of my coming to the UK. So myself and my auntie went out to like buy stuff and I came out and I saw a woman with a baby buggy and I was like, you know, I wanted to just like have a look at the baby and just say hi, he's this cute baby and stuff. And as I looked, you know, leaned forward and looked at the buggy, it was a dog in the baby buggy.
I don't think I've ever seen that, you know. That's really cute.
I was like, oh my God, I thought this was a baby. So, but yeah, I mean, we have dogs, you know, I grew up around dogs, pets, cats and all of that. But that was like weird for me for it to be almost treated as a child, basically.
Spoiled dogs. And also touching back on what you said for the titles thing, I think when you have a habit like that, it's very difficult to break because it's like ingrained in you. And I don't know about you, but us in high school and middle school, we used to call our professors by saying Mr., Mrs. or Mr. blah, blah, blah. And so I feel like when you're so used to it from such a young age as well, it's so difficult to break these things. And I don't know if have you managed to kind of change these habits now?
So for that one, it took me a long time because even when I got a job and I started working, I found it hard to call my boss by his first name, you know, but I got used to it because they say when you go to Rome, you behave like a Roman. So I had to kind of respect the UK culture, because this is their culture, this is how they live their lives. So I had to kind of blend in and just, like, you know, call people by their name and just, you know, reprogram my brain to say, this is not disrespect, this is just their culture, right? So that was how I unlearned that one. But within the Nigerian community, when I see my fellow Nigerians in the UK that are older than me, you know, I still like to, like, add that respect, because that is how we were all brought up.
It's quite a funny one as well, because I remember, because I did high school in Nigeria until 9 years old, but it was a French high school, so we used to call our teachers Madame et Monsieur. But when I arrived in France, they were like, no, you don't call teachers like that. We had, like, weird... if I translate them literally in English, it's going to sound weird, like how we called our teachers in France back in primary school, because it's like... Okay. Mistress, kind of, is maîtresse.
Oh.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so, so weird. So I had to get used to this, and I was like, this is so weird, but, like, I'm going to get used to this.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think another culture shock for me was about food. So in the office, one of my colleagues was having his lunch, and I basically went to him to say, what are you having? And he was like, I'm having porridge. And then I stretched to, like, look at what he was having. And the porridge I saw was different from the porridge I know as porridge. So he was having oats. Quaker oats, basically. And he said that's porridge. I'm like, is this porridge? This isn't porridge to a Nigerian, right? So, because in Nigeria, porridge is, you know, beans and yam cooked together. You know, add palm oil. It could be beans and yam, it could be beans and potatoes, it could be beans and plantains, but it has to be cooked together, you know, the same pot, and, like, mixed with, like, different whatever. So that is what we call porridge. So when I saw his version of porridge, I was like, you know, this is strange.
But it looks really good, what you're describing, though. I'd love to taste it one day.
Yeah. It's really nice. It tastes nice as well, yeah.
But I didn't know what was porridge before coming to the UK. So for me as well, I was just like, what is this?
Yeah, that's another one. Then another one that was a culture shock for me was, cars barely horn. Like, cars barely use their horn. Whereas back in Nigeria, you know, we use horn to say hello. You know, you could be passing through your friend's shop or your friend's neighborhood, and you just do bim bim to just say hi. And it's not a crime. But here, the place is so silent. Cars are driving, buses are driving. There's no horn. I think I was on a bus the other day, and the bus horned, and the child, so there's a child with his mom, and he just screamed. He was like, and the mom was trying to explain to him why the reason why the bus driver had to horn. And I'm like, this child needs to visit Nigeria, because we use horn to greet, we use horn to say hi, we use horn to, like, yeah, it's just really funny.
And so you've mentioned all these, like, different cultural shocks. I'm sure there's way more. But how did you kind of generally manage and, like, navigate through these different cultural shocks? Whether it's, like, what was your coping mechanism? How did you learn? How did you try and implement them? Or were there things that you didn't want to change? All that kind of stuff.
How did I learn? I think it's just basically being flexible, being open enough to want to adapt to people's culture. Because, of course, when people visit your culture or your country, you want them to be able to see things from your perspective and adapt to whatever culture or whatever you consider culture or, like, lifestyle over there. So I just told myself, like, I had to do that. You know, there's a part of letting go that you have to also do when you, like, travel or you move around a lot. You have to let go of some ideologies that you were used to when you were, you know, you grew up with and all of that. And also, I think moving to the UK also kind of opened my mind a lot. Like, there are so many things I had to unlearn. I started seeing things from a different perspective, like, in terms of not taking things too serious. So, like, people just do things without putting so much thought in it. So, you know, people dress very casually to work. People, like, wear whatever they want in the streets and nobody judges them. Like, even public romance, you know, was, like, a big deal that I kind of had to just learn to adapt to. So you see someone kissing or, like, doing their thing, in the public, you just go the other way, or like you move, go like look the other way. If you don't feel comfortable, just go your way. It doesn't mean that you have to go and stop them and say, oh, you're doing the wrong thing, this is inappropriate. It may be inappropriate for you, but it is not bad, like it's not that deep, right? So there's so much on learning, adapting, and being flexible, being open-minded that you had, that I had to do personally. So yeah, that was what helped me too.
Mm-hmm. And so there's all these differences, and yeah, sometimes you can see the beauty in both cultures as well. Did you also find any like common ground and similarities that you maybe didn't expect between your own culture coming from Nigeria and the UK?
Common grounds. Yeah, I just think that I think this one actually stems from the way the media present things sometimes. Like, it has a lot to do with the media. You know, the media presents the West as this very heaven on earth. Like, you know, there is no poverty, there is no whatever sort of, you know, social issues. But it's not true. Right, coming to the UK, one of the things that I found, not like I found it surprising, but it's not just there in the public, like in the films that we watch, you wouldn't really, really see these things. And one of those things is homelessness. There's a lot of homelessness in the UK. There's a lot of poverty. There are some homes I've entered. I'm like, does this house even exist in the UK? Like in London, in the capital, it does. So yeah, I think that's from like what the media shows you, what the media selectively shows you. And yeah, that's like, you know, there's poverty everywhere in New York, in I guess in Paris, in like different parts of the world. There is that. There is, you know, there is wealth as well. I remember when I was in Nigeria, I think I was studying from home just before I came over for my studies, and I was in an online class. And I know she didn't mean it in the wrong way, but one of my classmates said, you know, we were in a group, like in a group of two, something like that. And we were just chatting, and I was outside in Nigeria. And she was like, can you show me around? Like, I want to see what it looks like there. And I kind of put the camera the other way, and she was like seeing the buildings. And she was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, that kind of fascination she expressed. Maybe she wasn't expecting to like see, you know, places that have like similar buildings like there are in London, in Nigeria. So that is like, there I can find that commonality there. People are just people. Like, people are not angels the same way they are in Nigeria. There's poverty, there is wealth, there is, you know, all of those kind of things that exist, you know, both in the global South and in the global North.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. And again, like once you were like you arrived in the UK, were there any particularly moments or like experiences that like made you appreciate your own culture even more? Because I was thinking about, you know, when we first arrived with Anouk, at least my personal experience is that when I arrived in the UK, I missed so much the stuff of France for like the landscapes. And it's the one thing that I realized only once I arrived in the UK, which is so weird. And now every once in a while when I'm on holiday, I miss it. Like, I appreciate it even more. So, like, do you have, like, something similar to this that, like, happened to you when you arrived in the UK?
I think there are two things. So, the first one is food, right? You know, I literally was, like, food was a very accessible back home in Nigeria, like, anything I want. But here, it's not that accessible. Even though London is one of the most diverse cities in the UK, like, you can go 5 or 10 minutes and there's a corner shop around, and they are selling like African stuff, it's still accessible. But back in Nigeria, like, it's very accessible. Food, I just really miss the food. I miss, you know, just those things I took for granted. I miss it. And also, I think moving to the UK also made me appreciate one thing more, which is this thing that British people are always very fascinated about, and I'm sure you can guess that already, which is the sun. Yes, it just made me appreciate the sun. This is a tropical environment I've lived in for like 27 years of my life, and then coming to the UK and then there's small sun and people are like, oh my god, the sun is out, oh my god. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is sun, just ordinary sun. So it made me appreciate the sun more. And I was like, yeah, you don't value something until you lose it, right? So that is another one. Then I think the third one for me is that I became more African when I moved abroad.
I agree with that, from like French perspective.
Yeah, I just kind of discovered my Africanness. Because like back home, I wasn't African. Like in Nigeria, nobody would call me African, right? And more so, nobody would address me as black. I wasn't black until I came to the UK. So, you know, it just created this sort of awareness in me and helping me to like understand the concept of race as a whole, which was not a thing I had to think about when I was in Nigeria. Like everybody was the same, you know, nobody was thinking about the color of your skin. When you walk into a shop, nobody would follow you because you're black or suspect you or like racist vibes and stuff like that. So it kind of made me become more African. I started to do like research about like race and learning about other culture, even other African cultures I didn't know about. So there's that awareness, there's that appreciation of my culture, of the values that I grew up knowing but didn't take notice of until I moved abroad.
Yeah, I feel like it's very contrasting because you think moving away from home makes you, you know, feel further from home. But in a way, as well, as you say, like, you do a lot of self-reflection, and Laura, you were saying that you relate to this as well. Like, I definitely felt like I felt more French abroad than in France because I wanted to be more in tune with the culture because I missed it. I did a lot more reflection. I started listening to French music when I actually never really listened to French music just to feel closer to it. And I feel like it really helps develop your identity going abroad, which, you know, is something I think quite unexpected, and I didn't think that would happen.
But also, I'm going to challenge this even more, like, I feel French when I'm in the UK, but when I'm back in France, I feel more British or like a mix of like so many different cultures than French. Because basically, even like I used to speak only like French, you know what I mean? And then now I like introduce English words in my sentences. Or my friends are like half English, half French, or internationals as well. So it's so weird how like identity is never fixed. Like in my opinion, that's like how I feel about it. Like, I never really like feel I'm something, you know what I mean? I always feel like I'm missing something. Like when I'm in France, I miss the UK kind of, but when I'm in the UK, I miss France with the landscape, the sun, and as you said, the food. Food is a big part of it. But yeah, it's so weird, like, but it's very interesting, like what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, for the food thing, I think any international student listening right now that is a current student in the UK can relate to this, because I think the food back home will always be better than British food, and we will always miss it. But as you said, London's very diverse, because I think when we were in Leeds, what I really missed was like good bread from bakeries, and Leeds didn't really have any bakeries. But in London, you're really spoiled for choice. Like there's so much stuff.
Definitely. I appreciate the fact that London is this diverse. I think I was saying to someone the other day that I don't know if I can live anywhere else in the UK aside from London. I was in Aberdeen a couple of years ago, and I really missed London. Like, I would walk, like, I would literally have to take an Uber because the buses were not as frequent as they are in London. Train stations were not as accessible. And, yeah, I just really like it. Although some people feel like London is too noisy, it's too, you know, but I really like it. Yeah.
It's always, like, black and white. Like, I like it, but sometimes I hate, like, you know, tubes at, like, peak time. So it always depends. But it's true that, like, it's such a nice city. Like, you have so many things to do. And as you said, very culturally diverse. So that's really nice. And yeah, so do you have any like tips or advice to other international students who are about to like start their journey in the UK or about to like to start like their studies in the country?
Right. Yes. I would say that if you're planning to move to the UK, first of all, keep an open mind, right? Because you are going to have so many shockers, so many things that, you know, you're not used to seeing or used to experiencing. And one of them, sadly, is like racism. I mean, you would realize how different you are or how different you are considered to be as well. But also, I would say, just keep an open mind and know that, especially if you're coming from like an African country or like, you know, countries of like minority ethnicities, know that your value or your worth is not defined by your skin color or like, you know, all of those labels that are put on you. But in terms of like the cultural side, if you're coming as an international student, I would say be open-minded. I think one of the advantages of studying in the UK is that it offers you diversity and you have the opportunity to connect with people from different various backgrounds, from, you know, Asian background, people, Indians, like different backgrounds. So be open-minded. It's always tempting, you know, to stick to people that you're familiar with. You know, if you are from Asia, you want to be around Asian people, you want to be around only Black people, you want to be around. So it's tempting to be around people that you're familiar with, but I always encourage people to like take advantage of the diversity that the UK offers you in classroom. Just like ask questions, network, and build your circle, right? Because that is one of the things that you are also paying to study here. You're not just like moving here to get the quality education and all of that, but also the diversity, the networks, the international exposure that it offers you. So take advantage of that. So my one is like be open-minded, be flexible, and also in terms of race, know that you are worthy, like know your worth. Don't let it be defined by external factors and labels.
Was there anything else that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I think for international students, one thing that helps is like to have access to information. Knowledge is key, like knowledge is power, because when you're moving to a new country, you don't know everything. You know, even if you go on Google, there's an overload of information there. You don't know which one is correct. So ask questions, right? Don't be afraid to ask questions. Connect with people. In classroom, if you don't know something, ask a question, right? Don't feel like, oh my God, they're going to laugh at me. They're going to laugh at my accent, or they're going to just, you know, free yourself of that mental torture and just like come out open, ask questions, be curious, know that you don't know it all from wherever you come from, whether you've done 6 masters before you came and do this one. We're always learning, right? We don't know it all, and no man is an island of knowledge. So be open-minded, be curious, and yeah, just podcasts like this one gives you access to information as well, where you get to hear from firsthand, you know, knowledge, and like from students and from internationals as yourself. So make the most of the podcast and like the platforms that offers this knowledge. Yeah, that's what I would say.
That's a wonderful advice. Thank you for sharing it. And I completely agree with everything you said, especially for seeking advice and just asking questions is so important. Well, I think that's the end of the episode. Thank you so much for sharing your experience. It was such an enriching episode, as I said. And we think it's good to have a non-Western perspective on this topic, as everyone experiences things differently. So that's a very nice episode to have. We hope you found this interesting as well. And if you're a current student in the UK, please share your cultural shocks with us on Instagram at ISV Podcast, and listen to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and our website, isvpodcast.com.
And I just wanted to add as well, if you guys are also, you know, interested in, you know, the ISV podcast, please listen as well to the International Students podcast that Progress has, because it's really great what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. Very much, pretty much similar to what Laura and Anouk does. So I just basically invite guest speakers as well to like share different ideas, topics on like different various things that international students experience. So definitely, give it a short listen to the podcast. We are also on Instagram as well, TIS podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, and see you in 2 weeks. Thanks.